been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. Well, here we go. The first preseason game is in the books. The Ravens are now 21 wins in a row. Another record set here by the Baltimore Ravens. They beat up those Tennessee Titans, but it was Josh. He's here with me now. He was down at the bank. He got to experience live in person. Josh, how's it going, man? How you doing?
Oh, it was awesome. How you doing?
I'm doing good. So we got one preseason game in the books. It was great to be able to watch the Ravens once again. It's been a couple months. I've missed it. Man, it felt good to see these guys, see that purple and black back on my screen.
Oh, it just was awesome. Just to even, I'm sure it was just as exciting to get it on your TV as let alone be there in person. So Ravens football back in action at M&T Bank was awesome to see. Again, if you're counting the sort of things, which is fun for the fans, 21 straight as the Ravens prevailed over the Titans. And, hey, I'd like to see how long they can keep this going. I mean, preseason end doesn't mean anything, but it's all fun. But, I mean, the Titans really started the fun. Even though it's preseason, they paid us back with another logo stomp. And obviously, we didn't take too kind of that. And I know whether you think it's preseason or not, it's only preseason. Hey, it doesn't matter. I said, we're going to stomp them. I said, enough's enough. I don't care what it is. Preseason, regular season, postseason, off season, my season, your season, I don't care. We're gonna stomp them. And Ravens put an end to that again. So it was good. It was good.
Now, I went out to this place in Essex, Mr. Bill's Terrace Inn. I saw this on Instagram, and this is what took me there because it was a Ravens game. I wanted to bring it in right, like a Marylander should. They have something called Krabby Corn. What it is, they take an ear of corn.
What?
And they put cream of crab soup over the corn and then lumps of crab meat on top.
Never heard of it. Never heard of something like that. How was it?
I had to try it, and it was delicious. It was cream of crab soup and corn and nice big hunk of crab meat on top. I loved it. It was so good. And then to finish off the night, I had a Krabby Pig pizza, which was crab meat and bacon on pizza. On a white pizza, I should say. A white pizza.
Wow. That's not, dude, these creations are just out of this world, especially what you can do with seafood, man, and crabs. Good recommendation. You know, I would say I didn't have any crab or cream of crab or corn. I had good old Chick-fil-A.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Well, it was good enough to go down. And
you normally can't have that on a Sunday before a Ravens game.
Absolutely, right? I know, exactly. And that's why I wanted to treat it. We were in the, you know, being that it was a weird off Thursday and, you know, given the fact that we were limited, I couldn't wait to get to stadium. So, yeah, I had some Chick-fil-A on the route to the old bank and enjoyed it with my dad. Took my dad to the game. We had a great old time.
Yeah, tell me a little bit what it was like to be back at the bank. I mean, last year fans were allowed back in the stands, but with, you know, the last couple years, you know, 2020, no fans, that kind of thing. I have to assume, like, things were even more back to normal than they were last year.
Yeah, they were. I mean, it was pretty much business as usual. Like, 2019, like, you didn't have any of the protocols that were in place, you know. Not that I've seen, you know, and to each is their own at this point, I believe, as far as stadium's concerned. And it was actually good. No issues going in and out. You know, we parked at the same lots as usually did. No issues there. Yeah, I would say, you know, given your, you know, for those who are going to the stadium this year or planning to, don't have to worry about any of that. So you can at least ease your concerns there. I mean, at least from my experience, preseason. I think they did away with what they were working with last year, which is good, I guess, right? Getting back to normal. But I do have a treat before we get into the game. One of our listeners was at the game.
Oh, really?
And I got to meet up with him.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah. So don't know if you knew that, but I want to give a shout out to Dave Rivers all the way from across the pond. I got to meet up with him at halftime. Did a quick interview at the stadium, so I definitely wanted to start off the show on a great note and give a shout-out to Dave. Thanks for being gracious to being featured on the show. I asked him if he wanted to be a part of that. You know, definitely want to give him a shout-out again. And here's the feature. So here's me interviewing Dave at the stadium at halftime when the Ravens, during the Ravens' first preseason game. This is Josh from The Call, recording live from the Bank, M&T Bank Stadium for preseason game number one. We're at halftime. We're obviously watching the Ravens lead the Titans 14-10 in preseason game. It's preseason football. We want to win it 21st, but I got a special treat. Got one of our listeners, Dave Rivers, here. Definitely wanted to meet up with him at halftime and want to feature on the show. So say hello, Dave.
Hey, everyone.
So, Dave, I know this is one of your first times at the stadium. Is that correct?
It's my second time here.
Second time here, okay.
Third time watching the Ravens. I caught them over in London.
Okay.
When we had that abysmal performance against the Jaguars.
Unfortunately, we want to forget that.
But, lucky enough to be here the second time. Was lucky enough this time, from recommendation from you guys, to go to Mother's.
How was that prior to the game? How was Mother's?
Oh, awesome.
Good.
Awesome.
Good. Did you get a crab cake?
I had crab soup.
Okay.
And I had a crab sandwich.
All right.
And a bunch of beers. There was some sort of tailgate special going on. So I met up with some people.
Good.
Met up with some people from London who randomly happened to wander in.
No way. That's fantastic. Okay.
So I met up with two guys from Maryland natives who walked me into the stadium. Unfortunately, we came in the far side. So I had to walk right the way around. But
to see the statues and all that, did you not see that coming?
Not yet. But luckily, I emailed the Ravens, and tomorrow they're giving me a stadium tour. So
no way! Well, congrats on that. That's wonderful. I'm glad that they're able to accommodate you for that.
Yeah,
you get to see it all, locker room and everything on the field.
They did apologize for the mess that might be in the stadium and the changing rooms after the game. But,
of course.
You know.
Hey, you get to see it post game, right?
Exactly.
That's fantastic, man. What's been your favorite thing so far of the whole experience right now, tonight, this week?
Crabs.
So Maryland does, right? Crabs and football. Or crab cakes and football, but we'll all to that. But definitely good to catch up with you, man. I appreciate your support for the show. And, we love doing what we do. And I appreciate it. Yeah, absolutely. No, we really do. And hope you come visit it again. I want to ask you, so being obviously you've been here for the second time, but I want to know, what's the experience like here versus in the London game for the NFL? Like, what's different about it?
For me personally, London felt kind of fake.
Oh, okay.
There was a pumped in atmosphere, hyped up Americana. I was talking to the guys in Mother's beforehand, and it was quite strange. It was Ravens, Jaguars, and three rows in front of us, we had a row of Texans fans who were cheering the Jaguars. Which felt quite odd because that's division rivals.
It's your
right?
division, yeah. It's like Steelers fans being in a Ravens game.
Exactly.
On a neutral ground, yeah.
So
yeah.
You tend to find that American football is very much on the up in the UK.
Good to hear.
So Wembley was packed with fans, but not necessarily a 50-50 split of Jaguar Ravens fans. There was fans of every team. So the atmosphere was a little bit stale. They tried to hype up the Americana. And as a Ravens fan, tailing to a Jaguars performance, I enjoyed London. I didn't enjoy the game.
We all didn't enjoy the game. Here, there, or anywhere, Ravens fans all abroad didn't enjoy the game at all. We know that. But hope you're enjoying yourself here. It's been a fun atmosphere so far. And hey, it's still preseason, but I'm up there dicing and analyzing the game. So real quick before we get out of here, from what you've seen so far tonight with the personnel on the field, who do you think is the star right now? Who's shining bright right now? Who do you like out there?
I'm definitely liking Likely.
Definitely. His name's coming up a lot on social media.
It's going to be...
That catch that overturned was awesome.
the two tight end set going into the season. The guys I was talking beforehand were like, we haven't signed a star wide receiver. It's going to be through the tight ends, through the running game. You know, shore up the O-line. We should be good.
I think so. It's looking good so far, but hopefully you can put a winning performance. No injuries, and I'd like to see more guys emerge.
No injuries, a healed secondary.
Absolutely.
Should be good.
Well, David, it's a pleasure to have you. A pleasure to meet you. Hope you can get back here for a good regular season game, man. It's going to be great.
So.
All right. Appreciate you.
Thanks very much.
So again, wasn't that exciting? Gave his experience. So Dave, thank you once again. Hope you have some safe travels back, and I can't wait to meet up with you again at another game. Hope you can get back to one soon. It's definitely an experience. It's definitely fun to hear about somebody who's been to Wembley. Across the pond, he was there at the Jacksonville game where we know we got curb stomped big time, and it's just an embarrassing game all around. But someone to be there, and I did find it funny about the interview, right? Like, I was like, you know, we heard about that from the outside of the country experiences with, I think, Mexico City, and then now UK's being like an annual thing. It seems like a fixture for the league. But for teams to not only be featured, or fans not only be fans of the teams that are there, but wearing jerseys from all 32 teams represented and not just the two that are there. But I found it really funny, right? Like, Texans fans rooting for the Jaguars. It's like I told you, right? Steelers rooting for the Ravens. Like, why would... Yeah, just fans being fans, I guess. But to fully understand the production that they put on, and then being, you know, you get to come over here to the States and really understand what the NFL is all about and what the true experience. It's really cool to get that perspective. So I appreciate him sharing that. It's awesome.
Yeah, big thank you to David for coming over to Baltimore, going to a game, and then talking to Josh, telling us about his experience.
Yeah, we got to go to tailgate next time. We got to get him to the experience that, because that'll be a first for you. So Dave, can't wait to have you back for a regular season game. I got season tickets. So, hey, if it's this year, next year, let me know. Me and you will talk off the record, and, you know, maybe we'll coordinate getting you out here for an official regular season game once again. And, it doesn't sound like you, definitely have experienced it yet. So let's get you to a tailgate and experience what it's all about.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about this preseason game. Like I said, the Ravens were able to win one more, putting that record up to 21, up against the Titans. There were a couple players that I thought did a really great job. You know, I was really impressed by Isaiah Likely and Shamar Bridges. I thought both of them had a great showing in this preseason game. I would hope that these two talents potentially could make that that final roster. Anybody out there that you really think has a chance at making this roster? Anybody that really impressed you in this Tennessee game?
Well, apart from the two names you mentioned, you know, I would say Mike Davis, even though he likes ranch over blue cheese. saw him on Twitter going with that ending, trying to end the debate. It's not going to end. We're always going to debate ranch and blue cheese at the end of time.
He's on my side, so I'm going to give myself a point for that one.
Take that touchdown off the board for him. I know you can't take away points. But no, I thought for, you know, stepping in and filling in for the running game, because obviously we're shelving our two guys. I know Gus Edwards isn't ready yet. I thought Mike Davis performed, you know, adequately in the spot. I mean, he obviously scored the touchdown. From preseason action, from what I can see on the field, he looked great. Yeah, he looked good. So very excited to see that, you know, adding some depth in the game. What I really want to also stand out is, how about Kyle Hamilton getting in the mix? Rookie safety, being aware of the field around him when the forced fumble happened, and he scooped that up and got right in there in the mix. So shout out to Kyle Hamilton for, you know, great play. I know he's still rookie, still got some things to do. I know he got burned on a few routes. There's some miscommunication not only in the secondary, but there was a lot to digest, right? I was really excited to see, again, the role players that are going to be coming up for the Ravens, that they did step up, what names were going to emerge. Was also excited to see, you know, even though it is backup personnel and personnel that's not going to be full-blown starters, but there were some mixes in there. And a surprise was Tony Jefferson being out there, the veteran that he is, getting some reps with that team. He was a starter on the defense and played for a good bit in the first half. It was good to see him out there making some plays. He filled a gap on a good tackle, so I have to commend on that. What I did see, the negatives were all around with the coverages. I did see some of the blown coverages. It looked like some of the corners creeped up thinking they had safety help, didn't have it, you know, got burned on a few plays. But for the most part, they were great. I mean, right out of the gate, they got three and out against the Titans, got them off the field. There's a few good series where they stuffed them three and out. Have to hand it to the defense, forced three turnovers, which is always key for the Ravens. And, you know, when they do the tip drill and got the ball, and, you know, Geno Stone's another one that moved ahead in the ranks. And it's another game, another name I want to call out, getting the interception. And I tell you what, Ravens have a bad and a good problem to have. They got too many safeties right now, which are really deep at. It's going to be a who's who, because I feel like you got to keep a Geno Stone. You're obviously going to keep a Kyle Hamilton, who you drafted first in the first round this year. That's a good problem to have. And then you have, you know, you really have a guy. I mean, you really, it's a who's who at safety. And I can't wait to see who comes out of it in the starting ranks. I mean, who makes the roster is going to be key. She can't keep them all.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, you can't keep them all. But I was impressed overall with this team for game one. Like you said, there are some things that they got to work on. Kyle Hamilton coming up with that fumble recovery, I thought was great. But yeah, like you said, he does have some stuff to work on. And that's expected. Even though he is a round one guy, he is still a rookie. He's still got to get used to the league. So that I think, just kind of takes time. So we'll see eventually down the road how he pans out. But right now, I think he's off to a great start. I'm really impressed with what he's doing so far. I don't know if we should already look on to week two. I guess we should say here the Ravens did cut their roster from 85 to 80. They didn't meet that deadline. No, I wasn't surprised by any of the names cut. Were you?
No, not at all. I mean, it was kind of the crop that was to be expected to maybe get. Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate, right? You never want to see anybody lose their jobs. And this is what it's all about, jobs on the line. So, you know, hopefully these other players can find some homes, and, you know, we don't wish them, you know, any well wishes on the employment line. That's for certain. But, you know, no surprises right now that jumped out at me. Seems like we're in agreement there. But I will say, you know, it's going to be interesting coming down the stretch with what they might do, because obviously with the quarterbacks, you know, it's, you know, do they carry two? I know Brent Hundley, you know, got cut, you know, still have Tyler Huntley. I know Hundley, it's Hundley and Huntley, which is very similar. It's like when I kept saying Lamar Huntley last year with Tyler Huntley, because they're both the same player virtually, feel like, you know, when you look at them from afar in the way they do. But now I think they're going to roll in with two quarterbacks, you know, Lamar and Huntley, respectively. And, you know, looking at the running game, you know, they really have a lot of depth. You know, they have, you know, Mike Davis, Corey Clement. And I mean, Corey Clement just got cut. So, you know, Mike Davis is there. You know, they got Batty, who was drafted. So they really have a lot of depth. And then what's going to happen at corner, who knows, man. So, again, right now, through that first and second week and wave of cuts, no surprises coming out of Ravens as far as that. And, you know, there was some bittersweetness, which is good because they're moving forward to the regular season. But today was the final huddle in training camp. So training camp did come to a close as we're recording today is the 17th, I believe. Yeah, 17th. So training camp has ended for 2022. Give a round of applause, Brandon. Put your hands together. New injuries.
That's right.
No major injuries for the first game. There were some minor tweaks. I know Tylan Wallace had some minor injury that we need to watch out, obviously. And Ronnie Stanley still nursing his, trying to come back. And we know Tyler Linderbaum, our other first-round draft pick, is still on the mend. But, you know, round of applause. You know, last year was a trying time for Ravens with training camp, with Marcus Peters going down. He was activated off the pup list, which is great news. He's back on the field making cuts. He looks healthy, ready to go. You know, Dobbins is eyeing a week one start. So, you know, all eyes are getting past these two games and getting on to the regular season. Their first road test comes this Saturday, actually this Sunday night, I should say, at Arizona. So, again, with the whole Marquise Brown situation, we know, obviously, he's a Cardinal now and how that went down. It remains to be seen with Cardinals camp, is I don't know if he's going to be a starter or even seeing field time action. But obviously, he's going to be present and accounted for. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, whether it's pregame or postgame or even in-game, if he's even playing, how that interaction happens. But, you know, we understand it's a business, and, you know, we might be playing some former Ravens this year. So, you know, it's going to happen. It's part of the business, but, you know, we wish him the best. But I think the Ravens know what's in front of them. You know, I mean, the first road test, they got some roster decisions to make and some players that can emerge. But, you know, for the Ravens to have Isaiah Likely and Bridges – You know, both leading the team in receiving receptions, I should say, with four on Thursday night. They got a good problem to have. And I'll tell you what, Likely was catching passes in traffic. Shamar Bridges making some plays. This is what we like to see with the depth of the Ravens. And but I will say this, with the good is always a bad, right? You know, some negatives to take away from. Ravens on third and fourth, and pretty much I think it was 2 third and shorts, right? If the other one might have been a fourth and short, if my memory serves correctly. Penalties, man, penalties. There was a third and short that they converted for a first down. It was called back for holding penalty. Same thing again, if I remember, it was a third and or fourth and short. And that one again, same thing.
I think the only time we saw our new punter, both of his punts got flags and he had to redo them, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. So, you know, from what I can see, his punting was all right. You know, it wasn't knock you out of park in comparison to his predecessor, Sam Cook. You know, he's got some work to do. It's expected, but, you know, from putting the ball the way it was, you know, it wasn't like he had any shanks. You know, the punts that I did see, I was watching very specifically where the marker was. It was around the 20 to 25 yard line where the team would have started anyway, right about the average. So if it were to be a touchback, so no surprises there, nothing but of note other than really cleaning up the penalties, cleaning up the missed coverages. There were some things to clean up, but overall, you know, I think it was an impressive showing all around as a team. You know, I was interested to see Mike McDonald's schemes. Again, very hard to see him being implemented, but for the most part, I thought the defensive energy was up. They were, you know, they're around the ball making plays. Malik Willis was giving them a headache for a little bit, makes plays with his feet. Felt like they did a great job of containing the offense and stuffing out and stopping where they needed to. And creating the turnovers where they did. You know, the Titans were driving, the Ravens forced that fumble deep and in their enemy territory there. So the Titans were definitely driving, and I remember that play very specifically. So that was good to see the Ravens come away with that. Some good energy all around. I think, you know, I didn't really see any sloppiness as far as the offensive was concerned. I felt like, you know, they operated fine. From what you can see, I don't know if you saw anything differently, but from me really paying attentionally to the flow of the game and to that, I thought the game plan was executed beautifully. I mean, I didn't see any weird call plays. There was a great fourth down call play with Tyler Huntley to you know, run the bootleg to the right for the first down for, I think, a good gain. So, you know, I felt like from a play call standpoint, I love the fact that they went right back to Shamar Bridges with the touchdown. You know, the one pass wasn't there, and then went right back to him in the end zone. So I love the fact that how they did that 2 minute warning drill at the end of the first half, not using any of their timeouts. They could have, but the Titans had an injured player. Titans not using one. The Ravens kept all three of their timeouts and scored a touchdown and closed out the half up 14-10. So I thought that was, Matt, you know, executed beautifully from an execution standpoint with the personnel they had. So I have no issues. I mean, from looking at the game, couldn't have went as more cleaner as you thought. Apart from your minor nicks and bruises and cuts and scrapes, no major players got impacted, no major depth concerns, and it's going to be interesting to see what these next two games bring to make the final roster cuts, man, and who emerges and who continues to do good, and if there's any new names that come away, or if the ones that emerge, are they going to fall from the ranks, and it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Fun to see.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard Isaiah Likely's name a lot even before this game, so I was happy to see what he was able to do on the field. Shamar Bridges, though, that was a name I was not familiar with, but I kept hearing kind of rumblings. If you watch the Purple Playbook on Sundays with Torrey Smith, he was a guy that he kept bringing his name up, that he was really fast. He was a tall guy, that he was just really impressive. So to see what Shamar Bridges was able to do during this game, that was really great to see. I was very impressed with what he was doing. So is that a name that could stick around the whole year? Only time will tell, but that was a name I did not know and I was really impressed with. So I was happy to see him out there. So
I think he can stick around if he keeps up that performance. I mean, he did catch a touchdown. You know, him and Mike Davis scored the lone touchdowns for the Ravens in that game. So it's going to be very, very interesting to see how this all plays out. But, you know, for all those who don't know, he is a rookie out of Fort Valley State College. Be honest with you, I have to really look that up to know where that is. Fort Valley State, one of the great colleges out there. But he's 6'4", a little over 200 pounds. So
that's can't a wait tall to dude.
He is tall. Yeah. That's the other thing. It's hard because obviously I'm sitting upper level. I had to look at his specs on the roster. I'm just, because I was like, he was going up and snagging passes. I'm like, is he a little dude? Is he a big dude? 6'4". That's a big guy from NFL ranks standpoint. So you put it in perspective, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how he really contributes to the offense. And I really, and him and likely he's going to be that third guy in the tight end room right now. They're going to go with Andrews, Nick Boyle, likely right now, I think. Very interested to see how that goes. And yeah, it's going to be a great time to really see the roster cuts and see who stays.
Yeah, so looking forward to the Arizona game. Jameson Hensley, the reporter for the Ravens, he has already said that John Harbaugh has come out and said Lamar Jackson will not be playing. So I'm going to assume we're not going to see Lamar at all this preseason. That's kind of what I figured going into this. Yeah, so I don't think we're going to see Lamar until week one, which I think is the right call. Like you said, Tyler Lindenbaum, he is expected to participate in some individual drills on Friday. He's also going to be out on Sunday. And like you said, you know, this was the last huddle of training camp today as we recorded this on the 17th. And no real surprises with the roster cuts, no real surprises in the preseason game and that final huddle today. I mean, this is kind of business as usual, which I don't think us as Ravens fans are very used to anymore because of some of the disastrous training camps we've had in the past with so many players going out for the year. But business as usual, I'm very happy that it's quiet. I'm very happy that we don't have to worry about anything. I think that's really great. Jameson Hensley.
At least for right now.
Yes, knock on some wood. I just did.
Yeah. But you're right. It's been relatively quiet. Last year was just, I think we were just doing podcast after podcast in the preseason. It was like, oh, here we go. Instant reaction. Oh, no. What are we going to do? It was really if you really go back in the vault, in the call vault, and really listen to our shows from last year, dude, doom and gloom. Oh my gosh. Now it's like, okay, like everybody's coming back. Take a minute. Just hopefully nothing else happens. Yeah. Keep everybody good. I mean, injuries are part of the game. We know that. But if anything were to be in the cards for any major injuries this year, save it for when it matters at least. You know, let's not have people get these weird injuries. I mean, you know, just talking about it, I can see – dude, I can just see when I close my eyes, you know, Dobbins going down last year in that preseason game. When he caught that pass and made that cut, I'm like, no. And I'm just like, yeah, I was done. I was like, no way. Like, this can't happen. So, you know, for the most part, you know, whatever they're doing in training camp this year, keep it up. Because last year was atrocious as far as training was concerned. So hopefully they changed and looked at the protocols. Not sure on that front, but no news is good news. Like you said, rejoice.
Yeah.
Have fun to sit back and relax and know that hopefully you can go down to Arizona, take care of business, and get number 22.
Yeah.
You know, to see how long they keep the streak going. I mean, you know, you take a poll. Some folks don't care. Some folks think it's fun. Some folks are all about it. You know, win the game at all costs. You know, it's win the game and no injuries. It's usually what Harbaugh's kind of keys are. You know, it's preseason. You know, we evaluate talent where they need to be, and jobs are going to be won and lost. And you know, you hope you get out unscathed, and hopefully you have more points than the other team. It's kind of usually how he has it. So, looking forward to seeing what they can do. It's going to be an interesting one for me personally because I don't know. I got to look at the schedule. I think the game is what, 8? I think it's the late one.
Yeah, it's eight o'clock.
8 o'clock on Sunday.
Yeah,
I might be able to catch it. The only thing is I actually am coming back from a day trip that day. I'll be going all day, so I don't know. Obviously, I have my recorder set, so I'll be able to watch it at some point, but I don't know if I'll be tuning in live. So I'll be keeping my notifications off. Hopefully, if anything happens, go to bed. Please don't text me because I'm going to record the game. If I'm home in time, I'll be watching it from the start. If not, I'll catch up or watch it on Monday because I'm off Monday too. So I might watch it on Monday if I don't get a chance to. So, but I can't.
Now I'm just going to mess with you. I'm going to send you false information the whole time. Be like, dude, look who just went down. What happened? Are you kidding?
If you do that, you're going to – oh, my God, don't do that.
What, Lamar is playing? What?
I shouldn't even say anything. But then you know, because then I would have been like, yeah, it's just how it gets ruined, right? Like, ah!
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Speaking of ruin, I knew somebody that tried to record the Super Bowl one time because he had to work.
Right.
Didn't go over so well. He's like, I'm going to turn all notifications off. And of course, somebody at work, like he warned everybody, but apparently like he went in this, like, I guess picked up food on the way home and then like found out somehow. And I'm like, how can you not, like, I mean, kudos to anybody else out there who's done it, but for the Super Bowl at least, I don't know how anybody can do that.
I mean, they did an entire How I Met Your Mother episode about how the gang had to wait until Monday to watch the Super Bowl and how they...
That episode, very good episode of television right there.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, let's talk a little bit before Zoom kicks us out of this meeting. Let's talk a little bit more about this Arizona game. You know, you said we might see Hollywood Brown, we might not see Hollywood Brown, we don't know. But another former Raven that we're probably going to see, Trace McSorley. He's still with the Arizona Cardinals. I have to assume he's going to be one of the starters for this game. So it'll be kind of interesting to see how he does. You know, we got to see him very limited here in Baltimore, but that's a familiar face you're probably going to see on TV on Sunday.
Yeah, of course. It's going to be a familiar face. And it seems like the theme here, whether it's preseason or heading into week one, because we know it's looming in week one. It's fun to talk about. So, yeah, I'm interested to see what – you know, comes to that. It's going to be good to see him again. And even Brown, whether he's on the sideline showing, getting cameos on TV or getting some in-game action. I'm actually on the Cardinals website as we speak to see if there's any buzz about that. Still can't find anything about that. So stay tuned. They're keeping it hush-hush. But speaking of the Cardinals, this game, obviously, you know, in previewing a preseason game, really not much to it, right? I feel like the same personnel are going to be trotted out there. I want the same stars to emerge. I'm going to see new people emerge. I can't wait to see who else comes up. And new injuries, keys to the game, and hey, win the game. Win 22 in a row, which would be fantastic. But it's really going to be interesting to see what their game plan is and strategy, because depending on who the Cardinals deploy, again, being on the website right now, trying to dig up some nuggets when their game plan or strategy, I haven't really figured it out. Might have to go deep on the interwebs to find who their beat writers are and look them up on Twitter to see maybe release some information. But as for right now, I wouldn't expect Kyler Murray to set the field. We already know Hopkins is on the shelf for a little bit, you know, for obvious reasons. And it'd be good to see. Really can't wait to see how this first road test affects the Ravens for this squad and this year, you know, traveling out west. It's funny. This is the longest they travel this season and ends up being a preseason game, believe it or not. You know, the furthest they travel in the season is to New Orleans for a Saints Monday Night football game. And you can call it, if you want to travel, you know, south, they go south as Tampa, Florida, but they go far west as New Orleans, Louisiana. So for the Ravens this year, their traveling is pretty much staying on the East Coast up and down for the most part.
Well, let's hope they make one more trip to Arizona in February. That's what I want to see.
Ah, here you got it. See? Hoping you would say that. So, yeah, so and that could be a good omen, right? Their first lone preseason road game is, in fact, the site of this year's Super Bowl. It is, in fact, the longest they travel, so maybe they'll be back there. This could be a nice little preview, right? Week two of preseason, get to see the Ravens in action, and who knows? Maybe we'll see them on this field one more time, you know, for this kind of season, but one time for the culmination of the championship. So it's going to be great, but again, I expect – pretty much the same game plan rolling out. It'd be interesting to see if any of the Ravens that were on the shelf are ready for this one. I don't think that's the case. I think right now, status quo for the injury report. No new news coming out of Ravens as far as that's concerned. I think you know, they're being very careful with Gus Edwards. They're being very careful with Ronnie Stanley, being very careful with the draft pick Tyler Linderbaum. So I don't expect any of those Ravens to surface anytime soon. And for as far as the starters concerned, I don't expect anything to change with the core nucleus of starters. Maybe they might sprinkle one or two in there as we might see fit. But I think John Harbaugh's right, you know, putting out there that Lamar's not going to be playing, maybe if any at all this preseason. I think it goes for the rest of them, you know, Dobbins, everybody included. Like to see that running game, Mike Evans and Tyler Batty. The real key I really want to focus on here is the running game. I mean, the running game, apart from Mike Davis's touchdown run, which was good, the running game really didn't get going out. Now they rushed for a unit 130 yards, but I just feel like no true back stood out that was on the field. Like Tyler Batty was just, you know, he was getting swallowed up with some tackles, couldn't really, you know, he was elusive. And, that's where I want to focus on. I felt the receiving core did a solid job for what they did, making some catches in traffic, some really good contested catches and all that. But I will say this, apart from the offense as a whole, you know what I really observed being at the game last week, and I want to see if they carry on to this game and beyond into the regular season, is I don't know if my memory serves correctly, but everybody that participated in a play, making a play, like ability, had the ability to, whether it was a run or a pass, definitely more so in the passing game, the receivers would catch the ball, turn off field, and they would try to make a play. How many missed tackles and jukes and all that did you see on Thursday? It was awesome. Like, there was a few plays where, likely in the tight ends and the receivers, Bridges included, you know, they would catch the ball, and they would make the first guy miss, and they were making plays to try to get more yards. Like, instead of just catching the ball and going down, or, you know, they were actually trying to make a play upfield, which was good, and they held on to the football. So I thought that was impressive. I like the effort there and with that. So I don't know if that's a new scheme or they were taught, but keep it up. I actually like that instinct.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that, too. And that's something that this team hopefully can continue to improve on. That was an issue last year, and let's hope that they can continue doing this good work that we're seeing. So let's continue it for week two. Josh, have we covered everything for this episode of The Call?
Before we get out of here, do have one more point. Cardinals tie in with Lamar. Ian Rappaport reported that with the contract with Lamar, obviously there's a deadline, right? Week one. We don't know anything on the Lamar contract yet, but I will say this. Ian Rappaport of NFL Network did say the floor would be Kyler's contract. So keep that in mind. So what Kyler Murray was paid and compensated, that'll be probably the floor for the Lamar deal. And we're not surprised, because I feel like Lamar's a better quarterback and a better overall polished quarterback with his accolades. He's going to get – I feel like he's going to command more than Kyler, going to command more than Watson, but definitely less than maybe what a Josh Allen and a Mahomes were paid in that neighborhood, and especially what Rodgers just got. So keep that in mind from when you're looking out. He's going to get a mega deal. The Ravens are going to pay him. They'd be stupid not to, especially after all they've invested in what they've built around it. This franchise is built for him and around him, this offense, like it or hate it. This is what it is. This is the Ravens' identity for years to come, and they're going to lock him up. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what that number comes in.
All right, well, if that is it for The Call this week, make sure everybody go over, tell us what you think. Who are you looking for in week two of the preseason? Who was impressing to you? Who impressed you for week one? Who are you looking to impress you this week in week two? You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Let us know. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at ItalianGQ52.
Now go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. And we are always sharing all kinds of fun stuff that we find that's real interesting. Like, Josh, did you see M.O. in the end zone? We'll be in Madden. Mo Gabba is being immortalized in the new Madden game. I'm so happy about that. I think that is such a cool thing. Mo means so much to Baltimore. How cool is that he gets immortalized in the Madden game?
Very fitting. And shout out to EA and their developers for, you know, putting the stadium true to life form and getting the MO emblazoned in gold in the end zone. I mean, I saw the screenshot of the stadium. I thought I was looking at photos of the actual stadium. That's how good it is. That's how we've evolved in video games across the years. So shout out. That's going to be there. Hopefully, as long as it sticks in Baltimore, it should be a staple for years. It should remain there forever. So that should be going forward. And very shout out to their developers for the detail. Love it. And couldn't be more proud of that. Everybody should be really ecstatic. Rest of soul, little Mo, man.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're a Baltimore Oriole fan, you know that they just had a Mo Gabba Day. I think it was at the end of July, if I'm not mistaken. They did a special Mo Gabba Day game where it was an afternoon game, gorgeous weather. I think I'm going to have to start taking that as a day off of work, because that was such a wonderful game and such a great tribute to Mo Gabba by the Orioles. I think that's going to be a game I'm going to go to every single year, because it's just he's so special and meant so much to this city. So anyway.
Maybe we have to change the outro to say never mo.
Oh, I like that. That is a good idea. I dig that. Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Never All mo. Right.
Never mo. Well, I mean, it should be forever mo. That's what we should be saying. Forever mo.
All right. Gotcha.
So did we cover everything? Never mer, forever mo.
I got the brains.
There we go.
Hey, you got the beauty. I got the brains.
All right, guys. Well, hey, we do this show for free. We do this show. No, I can't. I don't know where I'm going next.
A beautiful lock of hair. It reminds me of Boy Meets World when Eric can do his thing with his hair and then Corey couldn't.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah.
But I can do it. I'm like, eh.
I'm rewatching Boy Meets World because they have a new watch along podcast. Have you seen
that? Awesome. One of my favorites. Actually, when Disney Plus first came out, I rewatched the whole series of Boy Meets World because it was on there from front to back. Yeah. One of my favorites of all time.
Yeah. So there's a new podcast out there called Pod Meets World, and it's Topanga, Sean, and Eric as the host.
Have I known about this? I need to listen to that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So they go each episode as you're watching it, I guess?
They go each episode, and then they do an episode with a special guest from that episode or a crew member that that worked on it.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
You gotta indulge in that. It's awesome.
Yeah. I've been listening to it. It's real fun to go back and check everything out. I kind of forgot how great that show was. So anyway, so we do this show for free. You guys listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm,
Overcast,
Google Podcast, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. All we ask in return is for you to please spread about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, rate us over on Spotify, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. We got the Cardinals coming up in Arizona on Sunday night. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you very much. And we do have a preseason game on Sunday night. You can call it Sunday Night Football if you want, but it's the Ravens production of Sunday Night Football. But still, there's football to be played this Sunday in Arizona. It's going to be awesome. Can the Ravens get 22 in a row? 22 preseason games, 2016, they last lost one. I don't care what you think. I think it's unprecedented. Given the personnel that's out there, you know, you're not really having many starters. And with the personnel changes that happen every single year with the Ravens, it seems like with, you know, what they have to work with these jobs on the line, it's just a testament to the Ravens winning culture. You know, don't matter if it doesn't count or not, if it counts, but you know, some might say, hey, why don't they get that in here in postseason? Because obviously the last few postseasons has not been too kind with the Ravens. But that's another story, another animal. We don't know why, but it seems like preseason, and that's good for a testament. I think, you know, forget the postseason blunders right now, you know, as of recent. But from a winning culture standpoint, I love it because you're starting your season winning. You know, it ain't like you're, you know, you don't care about the score and you're getting beat 50-7 in preseason. You're like, man. They let up 50 points of because trust me, if we were losing that way in the preseason, fans would be jumping off this ship left and right, man. Like, at least they're winning, establish the winning culture when it starts, and then they go right into the regular season winning. I like that. Winning's contagious. I don't care if it doesn't count or not, exhibition or not, winning is contagious. I mean, we're all competitive. I mean, if you're playing your family night board game, I'm sure you want to win. Probably no money or things on the line, but it's called accolades. It's called bragging rights. They want to win. You want to win. We're all competitive for a reason. So I love the fact that they can continue that 22 in a row. Everybody stay healthy, stay clean, jobs on the line. Who's going to emerge for the next crop of Ravens on the 53 mighty men of Baltimore? Can't wait to see how it shakes out in the next few weeks. With that being said, into Arizona with some friendly faces as some big, bitter foes. Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.